Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
So good to see all of you. And you're keeping cool? Yeah, it's a bit hot, but, you know, we are keeping really cool in here. It's so good that the song, you know, says about the graves are being turned into gardens, and then the bones are being turned into an army. And then you hit a wall and you still come through. You know why we can sing that? Because I think the one who is here with us, who is God, is really the God of breakthrough. And He is the problem solver. And that's why we can keep so cool in the midst of whatever we are going through. So we want to exalt Him today that He indeed He is the one who solves problems. And you're in the right place. You've got a problem to solve and you're still working through those problems. You are in the right place. God wants to speak to you today. Huh? So let's ask the Lord and to bless His time. Father, we thank You. We don't take for granted time that You have given to us. We pray, dear Lord, that even as we are here, 3 weeks into the new year, that God, You have got a message that want to bring hope and inspiration to our soul. So, Lord, we commit our time to You. We give You thanks, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last year, which is only 3 weeks ago, or already 3 weeks ago, that's last year, personally, the best thing I have in my house last year is our new dustbin. Okay, I know I'm talking a lot about the house. I've talked to you about my cast iron pan. But today I want to tell you about my new dustbin. So the best thing that I have last year was my new dustbin. Because for 8 years, I've been throwing rubbish and the recyclables into a carton and also into a dustbin because we didn't have a space for the rubbish. And so this box and this dustbin is just at the foot of the stove. So can you imagine if you are cooking, you know, the dustbin and the box is always in the way. It really interrupts the flow of movement in the kitchen. And of course, the box get to be change every time. Sometimes we have Carnarvon banana box. Sometimes we've got Cubo nappy box. Whatever box is available, we put it there so that we can put our recyclable. And of course, it's not aesthetic. It was really making me feel quite frustrated. Oh, let me just get into my... Oh, what's this? Ah, okay. And when we were designing our kitchen, we did not factor in the disposal of rubbish. So the system of disposing rubbish in my kitchen was broken. And it was causing me a lot of angst. How many of us know that when something is broken, you need to fix it? That's why I'm so excited that today, you know, when you have got a wall, you hit it because Jesus is a problem solver. If you have got bones, you turn it into an army. If you have got graves, you turn it into a garden. That's because the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ is a problem solver. So when something is broken, you fixed it. So back to my kitchen. So we've got a space consultant, we call him, who came to visit us during Christmas time. He's my son-in-law. And he suggested relocating my bin to a place that I've never ever thought would put a dustbin, right? And he changed the original bin and the box into a new bin. No charge. Free consultancy. Of course, he dare not charge me, you know. I'm mother-in-law. So anyway, gave us a new bin and gave us a new spot. What a good story, huh? Last year, I got a new dustbin. And of course, my mind then, you know, goes back to the Bible. You know, maybe there are some things in our lives that can be broken. Sometimes it could be things in a house that need to be fixed so that your life becomes better. Sometimes it's an area of work or study or ministry that is broken that needs you to fix. Sometimes it could be trust that is broken. Sometimes it's broken relationships, broken hearts, broken spirits. Or sometimes it could be systems in Perth or systems in the world that are broken that can affect our lives Or sometimes it's just broken communication. But I tell you what, with God, problems are opportunities to problem solve. Because we are made in the image of God to think, to reason, and to solve problems. I didn't say that. Rick Warren, a very famous pastor and author, said that. We are given the ability in the image of God to think, reason, and solve problems. And then Wayne Grudem, who is my textbook author, recommended by the Bible school, so I get to really dig into the truths that Wayne teaches in the book. And he says that in the image of God, we have the inventiveness to fix something that just wasn't working correctly. So when I was thinking about my broken disposal system in my kitchen, I remembered the broken walls of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah 4, the walls of Jerusalem was actually broken. And Nehemiah was chosen to go and fix it. He was inspired to be the Mr. Fix-It. And not only was he Mr. Fix-It, he actually got a team of fix-its to go and address the broken wall of Jerusalem. So a bit of history about Jerusalem and the broken walls. What was the problem? The problem was the walls surrounding Jerusalem was destroyed by fire when the Babylonians came to attack Jerusalem. And so when the Babylonians left and the Judeans came back from their exile, the broken walls became a big problem, because once you've got no walls, if the walls are broken, then you're vulnerable to wild animals, to weather, to enemies, and so on and so forth. And the city was actually not fortified. And the people of Judea could not call themselves one united people because they are open to so many attacks. And of course, at the national level, if you have got a city with broken walls, can you imagine if all our airport, all the securities are being broken, then we really cannot protect ourselves as a city. So at the national level, broken walls also signifies a defeated people. So broken walls need fixing, just as the broken system in my kitchen need to be fixed, but it's already fixed. So hallelujah, I'm enjoying my new bin. Now, throwing rubbish is a great joy. And cooking is great joy because there's really free flow of movement. But from as trivial as my need of a better dustbin system to as profound a pain as the Judeans have in losing their dignity when their walls are broken, we need to realize that broken things need to be fixed. And with God, all things are possible to fix. This is really bringing God's word, huh? And then, you know, giving it my theme for the message. With God, all things are possible to fix. Because in Isaiah 58, verse 12, God's name is called, and this is in your scriptures, God's name is called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. That is God's name. And Nehemiah was inspired by God to take the problem-solving approach to rebuild the broken walls and to rebuild the broken-spirited people. Amen? Someone said, when I'm in your sermon, it feels like I'm in therapy session. So I thought, if that is the case, I might as well give you a therapy model to chew. And so today I'm going to share with you a problem-solving approach, which is based on a counseling idea which I've gotten some years ago. But bringing Nehemiah into the picture, is that okay? Okay, all right, so good, yeah. Retired already from counseling, but the counseling is still in me. So the first thing is this. Nehemiah used this problem-solving approach to rebuild the broken walls of Jerusalem. The first word here is the word P. I'm going to use the problem-solving approach called paddy, P-A-D-I, which is actually a word for rice. It's a Malay word for rice, but it's interesting. The first word is P, is problem definition. So in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 9 to 10, it says, "Even so, everyone was afraid of another attack. Our builders have grown too weary to continue. Look at all these ways and rubble strewn about the ground. We are not able to rebuild the wall on this foundation." So in order to fix a problem, first of all, I think you need to define what the problem is. What's the problem? Where's the problem? Now, call-out fees in Perth, very expensive. If your pipe has burst and you call the plumber to come, they just charge you $130 just to come. Whoa, higher than a psychologist. We sit through the whole session, we don't even get so much. But anyway, they come. But if you don't know your problem and you ask them to come and you say, "Okay, I don't know where the problem is," the plumber is going to charge you more. It's going to jack up your price because you don't know where the problem is. Am I correct? So first of all, you need to know where the problem is. And seeing the problem is not sufficient. You see, every exile, when they went back to Jerusalem, they could see that there is a broken wall. And everybody could feel distressed and everybody could feel sad and overwhelmed. They can feel very strong emotions. But it's not enough. God needed men and women of the hour to define the problem and then to calculate the cost of solving the problem. And what happens, we heard from Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, is that Nehemiah put up his hand for this assignment. He says there's a broken wall in Jerusalem. He put up his hand, and the families of Judah actually rallied behind him to go and rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. My question really in 2024 is this: what is God calling you to be the man and woman of the hour for? What is God calling you in 2024? There is a purpose for 2024. There is an assignment in 2024. What is God calling you to fix? When Nehemiah put up his hands and stepped into the problem, guess what? More problems arise. That's why I never step into my storeroom, because my storeroom is full of clutter. Once I identify that that is the problem and I go into my storeroom, more problems will arise because a lot of clutter there. Same thing, Nehemiah went into the place where the walls of Jerusalem are and he realized that there were very many problems. But don't be afraid. And I'm saying to you, don't be afraid. If the Lord has stirred your heart to look into fixing a problem, whether it's in your work, ministry, your church, your personal life, whatever it is, or some other people, He will give you the anointing and the ability that you need to be able to do it. Of course, there's a caution here. Don't go around looking for problems. Also, don't go around busying yourselves with everybody's problem. There's one really nice quote that says, "Don't trouble trouble till trouble troubles you." So don't go around looking for problems. But if God calls you to be a problem solver in a particular situation, don't shy away. What was the song that says, "Soul, don't shy from the whatever assignment that God has given. Don't shy away. Soul, you've got a lion inside of you." Wow. So Nehemiah identified the obstacles to the rebuilding of the wall. You must know what the problem is. P, problem definition. What is the problem? The problem Nehemiah found out regarding the broken walls was, number one, there is opposition. There are two people that were really opposing the rebuilding of the wall. One was Tobiah, the other was Sanballat. The reason why they were opposing was because Sanballat was actually the governor of Samaria. So when the walls were broken, Samaria was having a good time because people had to go there to do their trading. And as a result, Samaria became prosperous. So the governor of Samaria, Sanballat, did not want, of course, the walls of Jerusalem to be built, because if it is built, then Samaria will not have economic supremacy. And so together with another guy, You know, sometimes like-minded people, troublemakers, have like-minded friends, and they go to all those people, and then they rally up, band up against Jerusalem, and they begin to launch a verbal attack. Verbal attack are the worst. Sarcasm, humiliation, mockery. They say, come on, you guys, you want to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Hey, you guys, even if you built it, even if a fox were to climb up, it's going to bring it down. These are mockery. When you want to do something, when you want to solve a problem, expect opposition. Because that way, you won't be disappointed when it comes. That way, when you expect opposition to come, you're better able to deal with it. So he identified the problem. The problem is there is opposition. Then he also discovered that there is another problem, and that is that the Judeans were fearful and the Judeans were fatigued. They were tired. In fact, the Judeans were so fearful of another attack because of the way they mock at the Judeans. The Judeans say, oh my goodness, it's going to happen. There will be another attack. And so this threatened the peace of the Judeans. And not only that, they look at the stones and the rocks and the, like myself, I look at the clutter in my storeroom. And you get really discouraged. You get really fatigued. Like, how am I going to clear this? One of the things about fear, and you need to realize this from the start, is that fear is a terrible thing. When you want to solve a problem, one of the emotions you face is fear, fear whether you can do it or not. It's a terrible thing because it will manufacture all kinds of worst-case scenarios and therefore make you feel very small and the problem very big. You shrink and the problem enlarges. And I've got a good quote there. It says, when you catastrophize, when you worry, when you think of the worst case scenario, most times you will draw conclusions from your worry rather than from wisdom. So don't do that. In fact, I was reading one book to my grandson called The Graphelos Child. And this Graphelos Child was warned of this particular thing. This big bad mouse. And this big bad mouse is terribly strong. His scaly tail is terribly long. His eyes are pools of terrible fire. And his terrible whiskers are tougher than wire. Can you imagine reading this to my grandson? So frightening. But anyway, this Graphelos Child was warned of this big bad mouse, who is all this description, right? But it turned out, of course, every good children's story have a good conclusion. It turned out that this big bad mouse was actually a tiny little mouse shadow. It was the enlarged shadow of this tiny little mouse. See, when you are to solve a problem, sometimes this fear tend to amplify itself and it distorts the reality and it creates shadows and illusions and make it like it's almost impossible to solve. And it takes God who can see a wall and say, I can hit it. It takes God when he sees things that are not positive and he says, I can do something about it to make it different. It takes God. And so therefore, when you have God in you, you are not so willing to let fears like this distort the reality for you. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So first thing first, P stands for problem definition. If you are called to solve a problem, either in your own situation or your friend's situation, is to find out what exactly is the problem. Yes? Okay. Is this a therapy session? It is. The next letter in the acronym is A. A means attempted solutions. Attempted solutions. Nehemiah 4:9 says our response to this threat was twofold. We prayed to our true God and we set up a watch day and night to look out for them. Even so, everyone is afraid of another attack. The two best things anyone can do to fix a big problem are prayer and precautionary measures. In this case, Nehemiah and the people prayed to their true God. Just now I got another revelation from Pastor Stewart. True means real and reliable. Wow. They prayed to their true, real, and reliable God. And then they set up a 24-hour watch to look out for the enemies. The question is this. Whilst praying, Nehemiah was practical enough to set up a vigilant team. Some people call this a lack of faith. Oh, you already pray already. How come you still need to set up a vigilant team? You already prayed. How come you need to take action? I would say that it is so good if you pray and you continue to pray and you're still being very practical, because prayer and being practical comes hand in hand. At least you didn't cave in, you didn't procrastinate, you didn't feel helpless, you still work it out. So in other words, the problem has not made you feel helpless, or pray and still feel helpless. I would say don't feel bad after you pray and you're still scared and uncertain. The Judeans actually still feel very insecure after prayer. And that's so typical of us, isn't it? We pray and then we still carry back our burden. We pray and we still get anxious. We pray and we're still not feeling peaceful. The Judeans feel the same way. It says, even so, everyone is afraid of another attack. So they're still afraid. But I would recommend that when you pray and you still feel anxious, continue to pray despite all these feelings. Because God wants you to live with a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. And the only way is to do it through prayer. I would say that overcoming fear is a joint venture in which we partner with God. And God wants us to live free from destructive fear, so that His peace will prevail. We live in a practical world. We live in a world that has got a lot of attacks, and so sometimes circumstances can come into our lives to shatter our peace and to enchant us. Sometimes even with the idea that God's word is not reliable. And sometimes, you know, when problems come, you kind of like think, God, are you really there? Are you real? Are you true? Are you reliable? And yet God wants us, you know, to be able to attempt solutions like prayer so that God can be the anchoring point for us. It is in prayer that we acknowledge Him as the true, real, and reliable God. It is in prayer that you invite Him into your lives to center you. And like what Pastor Aaron says on the New Year's Day message, is to help us stay on course. Stay on course. All right, so we have got P, which is to define the problem. Then A, which is to look through whatever you have attempted, whatever solutions you have attempted. The Judeans have prayed. And they've also set a 24-hour watch for the enemy so that the enemies will not come and attack them further. Yeah, so these are good strategies to be able to keep so that you know how to go through resolving issues or resolving problems. Is that all right so far? Yes? Okay. The third letter is the letter D, which is desired changes or your goals. Your desired changes or your goals. You must be thinking, how come your dustbin disposal system can lead to this whole message about Nehemiah 4? You know, sometimes in the house, God can use particular examples to show you revelation from the Bible, huh? So those who are stuck at home, don't say, oh, everyone has the world to go and conquer and live in, and I'm only in the house. In the house, that's where God can also speak to us. Anyway, D is desired changes. Nehemiah stayed on course. He was unflinching. He knew what his goal was, even though there was opposition, even though they have tried a lot of solutions and they are still discouraged. Nehemiah still have the goal in mind, and the goal is to let the wall of Jerusalem be fixed. So it's to keep the main goal, the main goal. And the goal needs to be sustained by beliefs greater than yourselves, which can only come from walking with God closely. Nehemiah walked with God closely, and he kept the goal of fixing the wall of Jerusalem at the forefront of his mind. Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 4:14, he says, "Do not be afraid of this people. Instead, remember the eternal, our great and awesome Lord. Fight for your people, your sisters and your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." Nehemiah proactively woke up hope. This morning we talk about stirring up hope. We need to proactively woke up hope with God's word. It's when the wheels of our mind become fearful and fear starts grabbing the wheels of our mind that it is critical for us to speak up. But how do we speak up? Nehemiah showed us that we need to speak up as a command. He gave a command. He says, "Do not be afraid of this people." Yeah, when you are solving a problem and there are people opposing your solution or opposing you, do not be afraid of this people. You don't always have to care what people say, because sometimes you can be so other-centered that you cannot hear what God is really saying. I would say, be brave to the core. Fireman Sam says that. Be brave to the core, my grandson would tell me. Mama, be brave to the core. So I would say, do not be afraid of these people. Be brave to the core. And remember, when you are going through solving of any sort of problems, that you must remember the character of God. And here in Nehemiah, it says, remember the eternal, our great and awesome Lord. Let God take the center stage of your life. Fear Him and you will have nothing to fear. Walk with Him because He is in our lives for the long haul. He's eternal, He's great, He's awesome, and He will enable us to be problem solvers either for ourselves or for other people. And how do you keep the desired changes in your mind? How do you keep the goal in your mind? If the goal is fixing the broken walls of Jerusalem, if the goal is to fix whatever issues that are in your life or in the lives of others, what do? You remember the commission that God has given you. Here, Nehemiah says, fight for your people. What story do you tell yourself? What script do you tell yourself in order to stay on course? I think we need to hear what God says to you. And this is a new year, 3 weeks into new year. Hear what God is saying to you and begin to do it. It may not be fighting for your people. It may be fighting for something. It may be doing something. It may be inspiring to look into something, to fix something. It may be helping yourself to learn how to communicate better. Something. I don't know what it is. But hear what God is saying to you in 2024 and do it. Nehemiah heard from God and he began to execute his plans. He began to commission the people to rebuild the wall. I pray that when God shows you something on the dashboard of your life, just like when you are driving and you see something come out on your dashboard, it is not to frighten you. Your dashboard is not to make you panic like, No, your dashboard, the signals are there to tell you something needs to be looked into. I pray that as God put these signals on the dashboard of your life, that you will look at it and say, there's something that I need to be prompted to do. There's some actions I need to take, and I need to be proactive. Nehemiah was proactive, and that's why I here stands for intervention plan. Intervention plan. So P stands for problem definition. A stands for attempted solutions. D stands for desired changes, and I stands for intervention plan. Action needs to follow from contemplation and planning. Don't keep planning, and then no action. Don't keep thinking, and then no action. Otherwise, it's only a good idea. Now, Steve Jobs, known for his ideas, says this: ideas without action aren't ideas. They are regrets. Because you keep thinking of those ideas, but you never act them out. So they become regrets. Because like, I had a good idea. Why didn't I do that? Yeah. Becomes a regret. Nehemiah 4, verses 13 to 14 says, "So I strengthened our defenses. I placed men armed with anything they had on hand, the swords, spears, and bowls they used to hunt at the vulnerable low sections along the wall that were exposed. I organized them by families. I stood up and addressed those gathered, nobles, officials, anyone who was close at hand." In the case of Nehemiah, his intervention plan was to strengthen defenses, was to make defenses more robust. And the defenses are the actions you take to protect yourself against harm or attack. I would say this: when opposition is high and your emotions are low and the task that you are given at the moment is a big one, there is a need for more protection. In psychology, we call them protective factors. You need to increase protective factors so that you can be a better problem-solving person and you won't allow problems to submerge you. You need to raise up more protective factors. Now here, Nehemiah gave us three protective factors. One is work at your vulnerability. Nehemiah looked at the wall of Jerusalem and he says, at the vulnerable low sections along the wall that were exposed, let's guard it. In other words, where the wall was least strong by nature, guard those walls. Nehemiah picked up those vulnerable sections and began to get the people to guard against it so that they are no longer vulnerable. I would say, be aware of your weak spots. Be aware of your vulnerabilities, your Achilles heel, some people call it. And seek the Lord for ways and means to strengthen those weak areas. For some of us, it may be knowing how to deal better with opposition. For others of us, it may be to know how to regulate our fears better, our emotions better. For some, it is to rest and not be over-fatigued. Don't be triggered by all the rocks and and rubble in your life, and then you can't get going. Like, you're so discouraged, you can't get moving. It's maybe knowing how to rest, how to focus, how to not be overtly fatigued, and not to be so easily triggered by people who are negative or events that are negative around us. God wants to give us the wisdom to be able to deal with these vulnerabilities, because He's the repairer of broken walls. He is the restorer of streets with dwellings. Amen. And He is our God. He's our problem solver. The other thing we can do, Nehemiah suggests here, is to work at family support. Here, Nehemiah says, I organize them by families. Family is very important. And Pastor, in the communion message, talk about the family. The family is very important. I've got two families. One is my biological family and one is my spiritual family. And I need to work at family support. I need to be able to get family support from my biological family and also be able to get support from the spiritual family. If you know Bill Hybels, he's an American pastor and author. In his book, Simple, he says his family is like a bucket filler. You know, you have got an emotional bucket and you fill it up. He says family is his bucket filler because it fills him up with resilience, fills him up with strength. And even when the family has an occasional conflict, it does not drain him. In fact, you know, families are families, true families, good families, real families are families who have occasional conflicts or a lot of conflicts, but are willing to work them through and to get back on track. So Nehemiah knows the power of family support, and that's why in the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem, he got all the people into family units. Families stay together and begin to build so that they'll be more encouraged. So don't be alone in your fear and your fatigue. If God calls you to solve a particular problem, whether it's at work or in your ministry or in your study, don't be alone in your fear and your fatigue. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't shout, "Where is everybody? Where is everybody when I need them?" Don't stay trapped in the shadow of your distress. Instead, I think it is good to reach out and be in community. Own up to it, like I did. I own up to it. I went to a teacher of mine and I said, "Look, I really need someone to bounce things off with me." And we sat down for a few sessions and we bounced things off, and it got a lot clearer. All the fears and all the anxiety all begin to not attack me as before. So work at family support. Amen. Amen. This year, 2024, I pray that your family support will increase. Because when you've got good family support, you're able to better identify the problems and deal with them. And if you've got no problems, you say, "Oh, Pastor, look, I'm quite a cool person. I've got no problem." Then maybe God calls you to help with other people's problems. and then, if you have got good family support, you've got spiritual family support, you've got biological family support, then you'll be really a very effective family problem solver. You'll be a very good problem solver. And I pray that this year the Lord will use us as an influence, as problem solvers. Because when you are able to problem solve, then you get needs met. And when people's needs are met, wow. Huh? They will acknowledge our God as the one who can meet needs. The last that Nehemiah did in the intervention plan was he worked at moral support. Now, Nehemiah stood up, we are told, and addressed those gathered, nobles, officials, anyone who was close at hand. I like that. Nehemiah stood up and inspired and spoke to the people around and cheered one another up. So he cheered one another up. He spoke courage into the people around him. Speak courage to the people around us. Make this a culture of encouragement. Don't when people share a sob story, you share a sobbier story. Or if people share a story that is terrifying, you share more terrifying stories. No, you know, break it. Let there be a culture of encouragement. In this case, Nehemiah worked at moral support. I've got a good example. Last year when we were doing the Christmas caroling, is a really good example of good moral support. And you know, we went to Kingsway Shopping Centre, and I would say that, you know, the atmosphere is quite threatening because, you know, for some years we lose out on caroling in shopping centres because, you know, we are not supposed to be spreading the good news through caroling in some of these public places. And true enough, when we were about to start, someone came to Adriana. Adriana, you can testify to this. I'm sorry, I didn't ask you for permission. But it's public knowledge, so it's not confidential. And someone came to Adriana, remember, at the start, before we even started our first caroling practice, came and whispered into her ears. He says, "You know, you guys are singing so loudly. And you know what? I'm going to report you to the management." Is that what it was being said? Adriana did not even tell us. Of course, I'm a counselor, so I see things and I knew some things there. But Adriana did not share with us. He did not want to demoralize any of us. She kept singing throughout the whole caroling session. We all sang with our whole heart. And afterwards, Adriana told us that this particular person came and said those things to us. Guess what? The next week, we went back to the same shopping center because we were invited by the management. And we went there, we sang our heart out, and we together, the same group of people, I don't know how many people we have, but together we stood together and we sang the loudest we could because that was our last chance to sing last year. So we sang and we were so happy because we were able to really glorify the Lord in that part of Kingsway Shopping Center. Moral support does wonders to the human spirit because it energizes us. It energizes us. In conclusion, I would say this, that problems are inevitable. We live in a very fragile world. Jesus himself told us, he said, don't be naive. You are in this world. This is the world you're living in. This world, you will have troubles. He says, but I have come to overcome the world. I totally believe that God's energy is in you to fix problems as they arise in your life. I totally believe that the same spirit that raises Jesus from the dead is in you to bring a correctness, to bring a stability to the situation that you are in or that other people are in. And I pray that as the Lord directs you in 2024, and as you walk closely with the Lord in 2024, and as you begin to take this problem-solving approach to the level that you want to, I've given you some handles, you can take it to whatever level that the Lord brings you to, but be able to be that problem solver, be able to fix it, fix the issues in your own life as well as in the lives of other people. So P, problem definition. What's the problem that needs to be fixed? A, what have you tried? What are the attempted solutions that you have done before? What really is your desired changes? What's the goal that God puts into your heart to see a change in the situation? What do you need to stop doing? What do you need to continue doing? What do you need to start doing? What are the goals that God has put into your heart for this particular problem, for this particular situation, for yourself, for others? And last of all, intervention. What are the steps God wants to give you to fix the situation? Amen. Oh, be brave to the call. Rise up to the occasion. Fix what is broken, not just dustbins. But whatever situation God has called you into, let us pray. Hallelujah. Oh God, we can only solve problems because we've got a problem solver God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You, Lord, we exalt as the repairer of broken walls and the restorer of streets with dwellings. Oh Lord, you are the one. Oh Lord, we adore you. No problem is too big. Oh, but it seems so big, Pastor. It seems so big. Yeah. Don't give it more enlargement. Look at how big God is. When you see how big God is, your problems will be smaller in size. Oh God, today, if our eyes cannot see how big you are, forgive us, dear Lord. Help us to see you so big. So big, oh Lord, you are real, you are true, you are reliable. And we pray that, Lord, we will look at the problems from the perspective of God, from a problem-solving perspective of God. Thank you, Lord, for being your child, that we can be able to look from this perspective. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let us all stand.